So, yeah, Psalm 19, verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech, night after night they display knowledge. So, here's this familiar statement of Scripture, and it takes me back to my childhood. Telescopes were a big part of what I did, and I'd go out late at night, look through the telescope, and just generally look at the night sky. I had binoculars that I would put on a stand, and I would zoom in closer with a telescope, and I would often sleep outside in the backyard in a sleeping bag, and Champ, my golden retriever, would crawl in the sleeping bag with me, and we'd both lay on our backs, and we'd watch satellites and shooting stars and overhead, and I remember so distinctly, like it was yesterday, how I longed for I witnessed the greatness of the universe, and I just longed to know its meaning. And I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I didn't know Bible stories, but it was just huge for me, the overwhelming sense that I had of, I wouldn't say God's greatness, because I didn't know there was a God, but just the awesomeness of the universe, that it was so big and I was so small. The heavens declare the glory of God, the skies proclaim the work of his hands. And so the word declare and proclaim, it's like a message is being communicated to us through God's universe. And it's a relentless message. Verse 2, day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. So look at those words. God's creation declares his glory. It proclaims the work of his hands. It pours forth speech. It displays knowledge. These are all communication. So this is what in theology is called general revelation, that God has revealed himself in his creation in general ways, not highly specific ways, but general ways. For instance, if you turn and do, if you can, to Romans chapter 1, you see a statement in verse 18 about the wrath of God that's being revealed from heaven against the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God, verse 19 of Romans 1, is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. Well, how has God made it plain to him, to them? Well, through general revelation. God has made it plain to them, for since, verse 20, the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. And it goes on to say that even though they knew God based on his revelation, they didn't glorify him or give thanks to him, but their thinking became futile, their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. In other words, when we ignore God's revelation of himself in creation, then we become fools. And so Scripture says, Psalm 14, 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So the witness of creation is that there truly is a God. Now, even though he's talking in Psalm 19 about the stars in the heavens, it certainly would apply to all of his creation. So when we look at an animal, when we look at a tree, when we look at fruit that's being produced, we should be able to see God's glory, God's character, and certainly that there is a God. So anyone who says there isn't a God, it's like, okay, you found the watch, you see the watch, and you decide there isn't a watchmaker. So if you're going to look in all of creation, and if you went into an art museum and you saw a beautiful painting, and it was a painting of a waterfall, something just absolutely gorgeous, And then you said, who painted that? And somebody said, well, nobody painted that. It just formed itself on canvas over millions of years. You'd say, you're crazy. Okay, well, if that's true of the painting, how much more is it true of the actual creation that the painting is depicting, which is way more complex, way more intelligently designed, way more beautiful than the painting itself? So if the logic doesn't hold that if the painting couldn't come from nowhere, how much more would the original thing that the painting is just a pale image of, how much less would it be able to, you know, come from nowhere? And while we're in Romans 1, look at Romans 2, a further witness of God. In verse 14 of chapter 2, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature the things required by the law, they are a law for themselves. Now we're talking about the moral law of God. Even though they do not have the law, since they show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts. In other words, God has not only shown us a creation outside of us that testifies to his existence, his reality, and his greatness, but he has also given a revelation or a witness inside of ourselves, and that's the moral law. You can have slight variations of moral standards from culture to culture, but they're remarkably similar. It's never right in any culture for someone to take another person's spouse. There may be polygamy, but it's not right to commit adultery. It's not right to murder, to kill without justification. Now, they may have different bases upon which they think this is justified in some cases, but nonetheless, there are certain moral laws that God has written on every human heart. They show the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts now accusing, now even defending them. This will take place on the day when God will judge men's secrets through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares. So God has revealed himself generally in his creation, even more specifically in terms of a moral law written on our hearts. So back to Psalm 19. No speech or language where their voice isn't heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In other words, everywhere you look, there is testimony to God's existence, to God's nature, to who he is. In the heavens he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. He's saying even the sun coming up, obviously it's really the rotation of the earth, but we see it as the sun coming up and setting each day, day after day, is a testimony to design, an intelligent designer who made it this way. Nothing is hidden from its heat. Okay, now, in verse 7, he makes a transition from the general revelation of his creation, and then we've also thrown in not only Romans 1, which testifies to that, but Romans 2, which talks about the witness of conscience, moral law, in each person. But God has even gone one step further, and it's a critical step. He has revealed himself in a special, specific way. So in theology, it's general revelation, creation, and even to a degree, conscience, and even the things that are sometimes called common grace. I mean, the air that we breathe, the kindness that we experience. We can see God in his image bearers. We can see a person do something that touches our heart, and then we say, where did that person come from? Well, they're created in God's image, and God is touching me through his image bearer. But now, even more specifically, God's special revelation, his written word. Verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. So God has shown himself in his law. He's given us his standards. Now, the law is not just rules. The law is where God revealed his character. You be holy because I, the Lord, your God, am holy. Reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. So, law of the Lord, perfect. Statutes of the Lord, trustworthy. They bring wisdom to us. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. So, God brings to us wisdom. He brings to us joy. At the end of the verse, he brings to us light. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. Notice that each one of these verses is talking about the revealed word of God. Words that actually came from God that are permanently enshrined for us in Scripture. And these commands and precepts and statutes and laws bring wisdom and joy, radiance, light to our lives. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. So God has revealed himself in ways that are certain, dependable, specific, that bring wisdom and joy and light, that purify us. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. So he's saying, and it's like in the early chapters of Proverbs, it says the same thing. Solomon, David's son, is there saying, cling to wisdom. Nothing's more precious than wisdom. Nothing's more precious than accurate instruction. That is truth that God has given to us. And it's like the guardrails, like I talk about in the purity principle, that God has given us guardrails, and these guardrails are for our protection. And so his laws, his precept, his word, is to keep us from going off the road. So we don't curse God. We don't curse the maker of the guardrail. When we hit the guardrail, we, even if some damage is done, we are grateful because it kept us from plunging to our deaths. And likewise, we thank God for his ordinances, even though sometimes we're disciplined as when we press up against them or when we violate them. They're more precious than gold and much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. So they're precious. They're not only right and true standards, they're standards that bring joy to our lives. God has revealed himself. You know, we can look at creation, we can say God is powerful. We can look at our conscience and say God is moral, he is just. But his word is highly specific. And think of the new covenant revelation that tells us that God came in Christ, that Jesus came full of grace and truth. No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten God, the one being in the Father's bosom, he has revealed him. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have beheld his glory. Glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So if we want to see what God is like, we don't have to just go with generalities. Oh, look at this amazing world. God is intelligent. God is powerful. God has purpose, because look at this design. But how much further can you go? You can maybe say God is good because we observe some goodness in the world, but we observe some evil in the world. So if you just looked at the world the way it is right now, you might say, well, is God evil? Well, no, because he's given us a revelation that tells us originally this world was good, and then it went bad. That's the fall. That's the curse. So we've got to have a specific revelation of God in order to understand and appreciate him and what he's really like. And he's given us that in his word. And he's told us the redemptive story, because in Christ, he has shown himself to us, and then he's done the redemptive work on the cross. But as I was thinking about this passage, it's been on my mind actually the last couple of months, several times I've gone to this passage, I've just thought about how gracious God is in revealing himself to us in multiple ways, so that every day we should see him in his word, go to his word, we should see him in our hearts and lives and in the moral code, the conscience he has put upon us, and we sense his leading and his direction and his standards, and we sense him also, we should be able to see him also in his creation. So as I'm out riding my bike, or as I'm driving up here today, instead of saying, oh, why isn't there more sunshine, just look at the beauty and look at the green and look at even civilization, which he created man in his own image, and he didn't create us to be alone, but to live in community. And look at what creative things that people do. I mean, look at the stores and look at electricity and look at trucks and look at car dealerships and look at all of these things and Joe's Donuts and look at all the things that God has given us as human beings the ability to do, and then have hearts that are grateful to Him. All those positive words about wisdom and joy and light and purity because of God revealing Himself in His Word. It's just so encouraging to me personally.